In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I read something this morning, and it was talking about a road, man, being on the road. And it brought me back, where's golf at? Saint, Soul, Frank, Deck. Oh, it brought me back to we were 2-6 in 2022. We had just beaten Green Bay at home. We had not won a road game in 2 years, AG, Ben, right? We had not run a road game in like 2 years. So what are you going to do? You know, now the thing is about road games. We were all 11-1. All 11-1 on the road, 21, half of 22. And then we went to Chicago and got it. We got our first dub, and since then we're 16-5 on the road, man. And every one of you are a part of that. Every one of you are a part of that. That's big, man. 16-5 on the road, all right? So we're road warriors. We're also damn good at home.
Okay. My guy. Go get him. I don't have to tell you that that's Dan Campbell, but I will anyway. And calling the game on Westwood One Radio tomorrow. Won't be able to hear him in Chicago, unfortunately, but maybe on Sirius XM. Perhaps you can find Jason Benetti's call of the game alongside another friend of the show in Ryan Leaf. Jason Benetti is on Twitter at Jason Benetti and is with us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hello, fine sir. How are you?
Hi, Dan and Layla. How are you?
We miss you. Sorry, I don't mean to sound so forward and obvious there, but it's just true.
Well, I still live. I have, you know, like I'm around. I'm not here as much. So, hi, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving, Jason. And we're very happy to have you on.
Thank you.
And love the at the Kansas game. Not only did you give us you mentioned the term sack machine, which was very special in these parts, but then at the end, if people were just tuning in and they didn't understand what was being chanted, or they were asking, why are the Jayhawks fans chanting Dan McNeil? They weren't. It was Devin Neal, but I was just creasing myself laughing to hear, you know, this 80,000 people going Dan Neal. Like what happened? Were we talking musky fishing all of a sudden?
But I'm always chanting Dan McNeal.
it was a hell of a game, though. I mean, that was a really fun one.
It was. I mean, it's such an interesting, you know, you do enough games and you have to go figure out what makes that game, that one individual game. And sometimes it presents itself to you in a very front-facing way. Like Kansas football in 2020 was 0-9. They fired Les Miles. It was a disaster. Lance Leipold shows up. They go 2-10 the next year. Still not great. And now, you know, they open 5-0 the next year and all this stuff. But the reason they weren't playing their senior day, Devin or Dan McNeil or whoever it is, the reason he wasn't playing his senior day in Lawrence is because they got good enough that they forced the hand of the administration to renovate their stadium. So when you think about cool moments for senior day, they forced themselves into an NFL stadium because they got good enough that they had to upgrade their facility. It was a really cool moment. And the best thing about Devin Neal is that Lawrence High School, where he went, their mascot is the Chesty Lions.
Okay.
It is.
Why the extra adjective there?
So we said to Devin, that when we first sat down with him last year, we were like, oh, Lawrence Lyons. He goes, no, Chessy Lyons. And we're like, excuse me? You probably can't say that. And he pulls up a picture of the mascot of Lawrence High School, and it's a lion with its chest puffed out because he's really proud and excited that he's going to go run roughshod over Free State High School or something or other.
Why can't it just be like Boasty Lions or something like that?
Nope, they're the Chesty Lions. Layla.
Well, how about these lions then, if you are doing all of your appropriate homework for this game? I mean, you know, obviously, that the one team is so heavily favored, and they're headed in completely opposite directions. What storylines, when you frame the significance of this NFL game, stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, you all have lived it, right? You're taking the calls. But the Bears have found ways to lose that are just beyond the scope of reality over the course of, you know, the last five games. Obviously, the Commanders won, but then there have been others, right? Missed field goals and shenanigans and all sorts of stuff. And it's not exactly where the Lions were, but you guys played it when Dan Campbell was on the way into this segment. Like, the Lions have become the team that if you're not careful, or maybe if you're too careful, you're going to get blown out. I mean, I had the Titans the week after they played the Lions. And to have a team in the NFL have over 260 yards of return yards in a game, I mean, the Titans outgained the Lions and lost by about a trillion. And so the issue is their defense. They've lost, you know, Aiden Hutchinson. They've had all the injuries on the front four, but they've held their own. But part of the way they've held their own is the turnovers. Those safeties in the back end are such ball hawks. They create the good, positive spots for their offense to be in. So my feeling is the Bears are going to be competitive if they play really clean football, and that has been a struggle at points.
There's no doubt about that, and we were talking about how much the Lions would actually cover. I still think they probably do, just because they're due at home on Thanksgiving, and we've seen the Bears' run defense just get absolutely gashed. How do you anticipate the Lions' run game working tomorrow?
The problem is that they have so many options. You know, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown has obviously had a marvelous season, and that has cut into Sam Laporta's production in part, but he's still certainly a weapon. And Jameson Williams and you know, Sonic and Knuckles, obviously, are major weapons. Well, we didn't know David Montgomery as Knuckles back in the day, but he's Knuckles now. And the scary part is the amount of weapons and the amount of precision. I don't have my board in front of me, but they've had three games where they've maybe four games. It's not one of games where they've had more turnovers caused by the defense than incompletions. Like, it's just, they're playing such surgical football. And the other problem for the Bears is Caleb Williams has been sacked so many times that this front, even if they're not great at sack creation right now, still might be able to do that. So what I'm watching right out of the chute is turnovers, yeah, but like second and long, third and long. And if the Bears get into those short fields for their defense because their offense can't produce, it could be a really long day.
And now that I realize it, the fact that this is a literal home game for you, that's kind of cool to have a, you know, major national game, and you're right there. Is the city as Lions crazed as I imagine it would be, and particularly coming off what you and the Tigers went through with the relatively unlikely and exciting playoff run this year? It's a good time to be a Detroit sports fan.
The answer is absolutely, and it started with the Lions last year. Like, when I took the job in November of last year, Lions fever was in full swing. And, I just watching that playoff run when they got the step short of the Super Bowl, you could tell that place is bonkers. So it's going to be nuts tomorrow. But the Red Wings almost made the playoffs last year. They kind of charged hard and almost Tigers the NHL at the end of the year last year, and then the Tigers situation, and now the Lions, you know, look a lot like the best team in the NFC. So, yeah, the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. And I do think it's interesting. that Caleb Williams hasn't done a Sunday to Thursday turnaround yet. I know that was, you know, public and it was part of his media session, but I also think like the short week and all that goes into it, plus the crowd and the frenzy that it's going to be, it's going to be a really, really tough environment for the Bears to go into.
What have been your observations just about how the Lions have either remained consistent or improved this season? I go back and I'm looking at their 10-1 record, Jason, and I'm going, how did they end up losing to Tampa Bay? But it's the NFL. You're going to lose to somebody inevitably.
They dominated Tampa Bay, though. Like, they outgained Tampa Bay in that game. Like, they should have honestly won that game, and they should be undefeated. But, you know, I think part of what they've done is exactly what the Tigers did. You know, use everybody on your roster to their maximum capacity and create opportunity. Like, it is rare in the NFL that you lose, you know, 3-4 starters on a defensive line and can plug those holes in any substantial way, and they have. I mean, it's in part because their back end in the secondary has been so good at creating turnovers. I do think a little bit of it is the turnover creation, right? I think they've been so good at getting the football that they've put the offense in that sort of trance state where they're almost playing make it, take it. So that's part of it. And, you know, Jake Bates, too, right? Like, he doesn't miss. Special teams been really good. I'm a huge Torrey Taylor fan, by the way. My college football crew makes fun of me for our game that we had Iowa last year against Wisconsin because they were like, are you going to talk about anything other than Torrey Taylor in this game? So, you know, I'm just looking out for really good punting tomorrow.
I've been watching some of these games that are on while we're doing our show here and seeing the Maui Invitational, and it sort of makes me think about Bill Walton. And it's been one of these first times when I realized, oh, yeah, Bill Walton's not here anymore. And it kind of makes me sad. I'm sure it does the same for you.
Yeah, it's hard. I actually have not watched much of it just because I miss him. I miss him every day. We have a number of text threads going about Bill and about Maui and, you know, to see it back in Lahaina and to see the tribute that ESPN did. I think about him quite often. And I think about just like going in and believing that I was going to sit down and like the open was at least going to just be an open. You know, and I got, I would say, 10 words into the open, and here he went. And it was a psychedelic wrecking ball for the rest of our time that we were friends. And I just, I really, really miss him, especially now, because that's the place where our friendship got forged. And we were so close, a couple members of our crew, I might have said this when we were talking about Bill after he passed, so pardon me, but we were so close to a situation. We had it all booked where I was going to go zip lining with Bill. But a couple members of our crew got sick, and so we weren't able to do it. But we were, after day one of the Maui Invitational, we were very close to me and Bill on a zip line, which the only problem that would have come from that is I never would have gotten the Tigers job because I would have been deceased.
Well, we're glad you're here. And I know that the hot stove is warming up, Jason, but when it comes to what you see for the Tigers this upcoming season, especially now that Cy Young winner is also on that team. Congratulations to Tarek Skubal. And I feel like there is respect being given.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to build. I think, I don't know exactly how they're going to do it, but the one thing that the Tigers have gotten really good at is refurbishing pitchers back to their previous state or better. You know, Michael Lorenzen 2 years ago, Jack Flaherty last year, obviously a part of the World Series winners with the Dodgers. The Tigers have become a destination, and Chris Fetter, the pitching coach, and Robin Lund, the assistant pitching coach, who actually was at Iowa, he's a Big Ten guy for a number of years, where he learned and plied his trade. But those two guys have become a destination for free agent pitchers. So I have to imagine there's going to be somebody else on that list where you're like, yeah, you know, maybe it's a flyer, and then suddenly they get really good. So, I think they have created an opportunity for themselves to be one of those places that people go and maybe take a little bit less because they feel like their career is going to get kickstarted again. And then, you know, offensively, I just don't know where they go in the free agent market because a lot of the positions are occupied by young talent, you know, not just like young bodies, but young talent. And so it's an interesting moment in time for them because they made this run with a core that they cherish, but then what, you know? And I think that's a decision they're going to have to make position by position. But I do feel like they've been so good at reformatting pitching that they're going to do it again.
Why aren't you on Blue Sky yet?
Is that the television show with Bingo?
No, stop, stop. I've got friends on Blue Sky who say that you're going to fit in beautifully into this different and lovely and troll-free environment.
All right, I'll do it.
Yes!
I'll do it. I'll do it. I haven't yet. I'm kind of been off social media for the most part, and I actually can tell you that I feel really good. So I kind of keeping that going, but I'll join.
Okay.
You've convinced me. I'll join.
Blue Sky will make you feel better about social media. I will tell you that because just the way it operates, the way it's arranged, it's non-algorithmic. It's back to it's only you talk to the people you want to talk to, and it's actually having conversations with things that are not Russian porn bots or creations.
I'll miss them. So,
about just bitter people? We seem to get a lot of those.
You said non-algorithmic. I thought you were going to say non-alcoholic. I thought it was the
no.
Zima.
Oh, God,
no. I thought it was the Zima of social media.
No, nobody would want that. And also, I think that if there is a special closed-circuit channel or a YouTube live of just watching you eat Thanksgiving dinner, I know to whom I would send the link.
Oh, it's not just one person. Maybe it's just one person.
Just say, hey, by the way, check this out. This is nothing but a live stream video of Jason Benetti eating whatever he wants on camera.
In a very large ballroom at a hotel, and nobody else is in there. It's just
correct.
Me with like 12 dishes.
In a tux, yes.
In a candelabra.
Tux and a candelabra and a piano. I love it. All right, Jason.
Right, and like Gallagher's assistant or something.
Actual Gallagher.
You know, people around you covered in ponchos just in case. Yes.
Right.
Jason, be well. Have a good call tomorrow and have a lovely holiday. Best to you and yours.
To you too, to both of you. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And thank you for having me once again.